We're back, and you're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Peter Schwartz. I'm joined by my co-host, Colin Callahan. And for this segment, we have Sukumar Iyer, who's the president and CEO of a company called Brilliant Corporation. What is Brilliant?
Brilliant is a technology and business consulting firm. We work mostly with federal agency clients at this time. We specialize in big data analytics, web and mobile applications.
What is big data analytics?
Well, we help our agency clients get a handle on the vast volumes of data and information that are generated from their systems, from their websites, their customers, integrating it for slice and dice analytics to get insight and make better decisions.
How did you get fascinated by this topic?
Well, information is the DNA of an organization. If you know the data and information, you know the organization. And the problem that we have now compared to 10 years ago is we have too much information. Mm-hmm. So how do you get a handle on that vast amount of data?
So you sound fascinated by this whole topic of information and the DNA of things. How did this begin for you?
So in my previous job working for a global management consulting firm, one of my specialties was handling data and getting what is called business intelligence out of it. So I found that to be really fascinating because information is everything. And if you think about it, almost everything we handle on a day-to-day basis is nothing but information.
So when did you start the company?
In 2006.
Why?
Because I had this entrepreneurial urge, was doing very well at my previous job, but just wanted to be master of my own destiny and wanted to give it a shot.
So when did the feeling of wanting to be a master of your own how young were you when you first felt that, master of your own destiny?
I think it started happening about 4 or 5 years before I started the company because towards the end of my career with the previous consulting firm, I was pretty much running my own business, developing relationships, selling work, managing people.
Well, what could you do in a company that you started that you couldn't do in the previous place? Because it sounded like you had a lot of freedom.
So one of the things that I've always focused on is to learn what others do well and what they also don't do well. So I've tried to build this vision and future at Brilliant based on the learnings that I've had about how others do things well and then to rectify some of those defects that I saw that they did not do well.
So are you just basically a curious guy?
Actually, I am. I read a lot. I'm very inquisitive. Not inquisitive, curious about how things
work. Were you curious as a kid?
Yes, I was.
So tell us about your childhood and ways in which you were curious.
So when I was a kid, I was a pretty nerdy kid. I read a lot. My best friends were actually books rather than people. So I had a lot of bookish knowledge about a lot of things around the world and the universe, different countries, cultures, people. And that's carried on. And that actually helped me because I used to be the captain of the quiz team when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And even now, Jeopardy is one of my favorite shows.
So where are you from?
I'm from India. I was born in India, and I came to this country in 1989 as a young graduate student.
And that's an interesting story that you like to tell us. So tell us a little bit about how you got here.
Yeah, so I actually, like many an immigrant, I have an immigrant story. And my story is I came to this country with two crisp $20 bills in my pocket. And I remember that because when I was growing up in India, you never had crisp currency bills. And this was fresh from the bank. And my mom had actually sold her only pair of gold earrings to pay for the ticket, for the air ticket. So it's been a great journey since then. When I got my first job, my first paycheck, I actually went back and bought a similar set of gold earrings for my mom. It's been a fascinating journey.
So tell us about mom and dad. What did you learn from them that kind of shaped who you are today?
So my father was very risk averse, but he was a very straight man. He had very strong principles, and he taught me that it's good to live a principled and straightforward life. My mom, on the other hand, was not that risk-averse, but she was very aggressive. And if she had been a career person, she would have been a CEO of a company. But she was a homemaker, and she taught us to study hard. So their focus on us was always education, not money. Study hard, get a good degree, and everything else will follow.
And so you did that.
I tried it to the best of my ability. I was not an A student like my brother was, but I think I'm fortunate. I had a good education.
Yeah, and so at what point did you decide to leave India and why?
So when I graduated from college, some of the smart kids in my batch actually came to the U.S. It was a hard thing to do in those days because the best colleges in the world are in the United States.
Right.
I decided not to do that. I found a job. I wanted to be different. And I was working there. But then I kept getting all these messages from my friends. And I was a bit disgusted with the bureaucracy and socialism back in India in those days. So I said, okay, let me go check out the U.S. and applied for colleges and came to the University of Akron.
Akron, Ohio. What was that experience like?
It was fantastic. So I flew into JFK. I still remember that day when I flew into JFK.
So if you're flying into JFK, two crisp 20s don't go very far.
Yes. So I still remember at the airport, I think I spent the first of those $20 bills getting a Coke. And it was actually my first Coca-Cola in my life, if you'd believe it. And also getting a meal before catching my connection to Cleveland, Ohio, to go to Akron. But it was a fantastic experience.
Well, how did you make it in the early days with such little money?
Well, I was fortunate. I was able to impress the head of our department, mechanical engineering department.
Well, you must have did it really quick because 20 bucks doesn't go very far.
Yeah, actually, in about 10 days, I was able to land an assistantship, a graduate teaching assistantship.
So what is it about you that would impress a person that way?
I think I'm very earnest. What you see is what you get. And I'm always focused on value to the recipient of the message. So I like to put myself in their shoes and say, what is it that they want from me rather than what can I offer?
Uh-huh. So then you were here and you got your graduate degree in what?
I have a master's in mechanical engineering.
And then what did you do with that?
So when I graduated with my master's, it was the end of the first Gulf War and 20,000 mechanical engineers were out of work. So I actually enrolled in a PhD program. But I didn't fancy myself as a super specialized doctor either. So I was looking for jobs, and I landed a job in Huntsville, Alabama. And, you know, all my knowledge of Alabama was from books and, you know, the civil rights movement. So I was a little worried, but it was also another great chapter in my American experience.
So tell us a little bit about that great chapter.
So I got a job with an engineering software company. So it was a combination of my engineering background and software, which was hot. But then they found out that I can talk pretty well, so they actually made me a sales guy. So I started up the sales practice for their software products. And I actually built it up from scratch to a global operation in covering actually most of the continents with distributorships. I traveled quite a bit. I was pretty successful selling software.
Any surprises when you came here as a first-generation immigrant?
Quite a few. So the outside perspective of the U.S. is what you see from Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
So you form some stereotypes, and then when you come to this country, you find out it's quite different. For example, I would have never thought that Americans were so religious. We are actually a lot more religious in this country than Europe, for example. I had quite the opposite impression.
Did you run into any stereotypes around Indians?
Yes. You know, stereotypes are a very natural human thing, so I don't fault people for having stereotypes.
But it could have been easy a couple of times.
Yes. I mean, I have faced stereotypes that were a bit negative sometimes.
How'd you deal with that?
I just took it in my stride. I'm not the kind of guy that lets things get to me or stick to me. So if somebody bothered me, I wouldn't deal with them. And I'll be honest with you. There have been times when I've felt very bad about something that's happened, but then you just move on. Yeah.
So what were you most surprised about when you started your company, you're running the company? What was the first biggest surprise you had about it?
So entrepreneurship is a voyage of self-discovery. Mm-hmm. You find out what you're really made of, and you find out your strengths and weaknesses. I knew I could sell. I actually thought selling work and growing the company would be my biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. My biggest challenge was actually finding good people to work for me after I sold the project and making it a success.
So how do you know when you're interviewing somebody today, what are you looking for, and how do you know you've got somebody you want on your team?
So my philosophy is I named the company Brilliant because I like to hire brilliant people, take good care of them, then get out of their way so they can do their magic and make us look brilliant. Mm-hmm. So I look for brilliance. I look for something different. I don't necessarily look for experience as much as capability. And capability and experience are different things.
Yeah, I really like the way you describe entrepreneurialism as an act of self-discovery. What did you discover about yourself you knew you had to become in order to get this right?
So I knew I was very aggressive in a good kind of way. I also knew that I was ready to take risks. But I also had this cautionary side, and sometimes I had to figure out the right balance between risk and caution, meaning taking a calculated risk. And trust me, I've made enough bad decisions as an entrepreneur, and I've learned from each one of them. Fortunately, my wife, who is my best advisor, is a very cautious person, so she gives me some advice sometimes to rein me back.
What's your proudest moment up till now, Sukumar?
Actually, late last year, we got an award called the Smart CEO Award. And it's actually for the CEO, who is me, but in reality, it was for my company and what we've accomplished. So I was very happy to go up on stage and receive that award on behalf of all my hardworking, brilliant employees.
Yeah,
I think that is probably one, and hopefully one of many such occasions to happen.
Great. What's the website address?
Brilliant, BRILLIENT.net.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Sukumar Iyer, who's the president and CEO of Brilliant. I'd like to thank Colin Callahan for helping me with the interview. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, for more about our executive leaders. This is Peter Schwartz, your host. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight.